Okay, we are up to Pasuk Yud Beis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayom Hashem el Satan hinei chol asher lo biyodecha. After the Satan challenges Hashem by demanding, by telling Hashem, you only reason why he is a tzaddik. Good morning.
Sorry, where are we again?
Pasuk Yud Beis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. So to recap, the Satan says to Hashem, the only reason why Eov is a tzaddik is because he has not suffered any harm. He has a successful life. He's healthy, he has children, he has extreme wealth, and that's why he has no complaints in this world. The Satan says to Hashem, why don't you bring upon him Yisurim? Bring upon him suffering, and we'll see if he will continue to be faithful, or he will, as the words are, im lo al panecha yivarecheka. That was the end of Pasuk Yud Aleph. If not, he will curse. Can be mevarech Hashem, blaspheme Hakadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the challenge of the Satan. So Hashem says to the Satan, "Okay, if that's the case, I grant you permission." Vayem Hashem la Satan, hinei chol asher lo biyodecha. All of his possessions are in your hand. I give you permission to do to his possessions as you wish. Rak elav al tishlach yodecha. There's one condition. I do not give you permission to bring upon him physical harm. No physical yisurim. Vayetze ha-satan im pnei Hashem. And when the Satan received his permission to take his possessions, to bring it, to cause him harm, take away his possessions, he left from Hashem. Let's see over here, Pasuk Yud Beis in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Yud Beis, hinei mesum heim heima biyodecha. So biyodecha means they're given over into your hands. La'abed hakol, you can destroy everything. Avalo tishlach yodcha el gufo la'hakos gambo, you have no permission to touch him, to inflict harm upon him. Vayetze ha-satan, the satan departed. La'abed es la'abed b'nei beso gam im kol o'isher. He left to destroy his b'nei beso im kol o'isher. So here what's happening is something very frightening. He's going to destroy his children. It's not just going to be his possessions. The request seemingly was also to bring harm upon his children. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, wait, I just want to make sure. Just want to make sure we do all the Rashis. Okay, no, we didn't do all the Rashis. Let's just go back. Let's do some Rashis. We didn't do everything here. There was a Loshon Acher and Rashi. Right. Let's start Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay. Pasuk Yud Beis. It's there is a Yud Beis, no?
But you know what?
It goes backwards.
You look on the
right.
Other side. Yeah.
It goes back. I have a different edition, right? So Rashi over here, he goes through two different versions of the story, or different midrashim. So let's go back to Pasuk Yud Beis, the second Yud Beis. Vayomer Hashem el Hasata. Let me just read the same edition that you have, so we don't get confused. Okay. Okay, go to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay, I have in your edition. Okay, Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'ulam lu hayisu nageya b'chol ha-shalo. If only you will touch, you will bring harm upon his possessions. Imloy al panecha yivarecheka. Miyad bitmiya v'os. It's a rhetorical statement. I guarantee, will it not be that he will be mevarech Hashem? He will curse his situation. And then some of the farshim want to learn imloy is a shvua. So the Satan was saying, I'm so certain it's going to happen. It's ki'ilu the Satan himself is making a shua. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayim Hashem el Satan, hinei akol ha-shalo b'yodecha. Now, davar acher. So now what Rashi does, Rashi goes back to Pasuk Vav, and he reviews the story, and he gives a different set of interpretations. Let's see. Vayiv yahi hayom. Rashi, in his first interpretation, translate hayom to refer to, it was Rosh Hashanah. That was the significance in Hayom, the Hey Hayidiyah, the day. In this interpretation, Hayom is not referring to Rosh Hashanah, but rather, Osa Hayom Shechazach Halilol Echol Bebeis Achem HaBuchar. The Hayom here, the significance of the Hey Hayidiyah, Hayom refers to the day when the cycle repeated. We learned that there were 7 sons, 3 daughters, and every day the party took place in the home of one of the sons. And after 7 days, it was Chazer Halilol, they started the rotation anew. However, before they started the cycle anew, first, Eov took all of his children and they went maybe to the Beis Hamikdash or they went to wherever it was and they offered korbanos, oilos, to be mechaper on any hirura. Perhaps his children, during their celebration, they had some bad thoughts, they had some complaints to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore to be mechaper for their sins, he brought korbanos. So this was the time when Eov would have had the maximum reason to complain against Hashem because it was right after he brought korbanos. So it was a clean slate. Any sins they would have committed during those 7 days would have been forgiven after the offered korbanos. So how can it possibly happen now when they have a clean slate, terrible tragedy overcomes them with their death and the loss of his possession? So he's, Rashi is coming to build up the nisayon, the terrible, the test that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing upon Eov. Now, B'nei Hu Elokim, now according to Rashi's first interpretation, B'nei Hu Elokim refers to the Malachim. The Malachim who were coming to present, it was Rosh Hashanah, according to Rashi's first interpretation, the B'nei Hu Elokim were the advocates, and the Satan was the prosecutor. Here, according to this interpretation, it's not necessarily Rosh Hashanah, it's B'nei Hu Elokim. It means that Tzva HaShemayim, HaKarev L'Shchina Liyos B'nei Beisov, Yal Shem Kach Nikru Bonov. Referring to, it was the day when the Malachim, just says that Tzva HaShemayim, next words of Rashi, L'Siyatzvah L'Hashem S'vivoysav K'mo L'chol Hanit Savim Elav, they came to be in the vicinity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It wasn't any specific day.
Right, it was not Rosh Hashanah. He's just coming to explain it because it's a little bit more difficult because he learned that Hayim was not Rosh Hashanah. So what's then the significance in Pasuk Vav that the B'nei Hu Elokim are coming L'Siyatzev Al Hashem? What's the significance? If you learn like the first interpretation was Rosh Hashanah, then the B'nei Hu Elokim refers to the Malachim that are presenting the Zechuyos of Klal Yisrael. But if you're learning that it's not Rosh Hashanah, so what's the significance of Bnei Elokim? So the answer is no significance. It just means that the Bnei Elokim means that Tzva Shemayim were present, they were in Hashem's vicinity. Then who enters? The Satan comes, Pasuk Zayin, Me'ayin Tavo, Dibur HaKos of Derech Eretz, She'agodol Medaber Tchilo U'mashre HaKotel Ano. So the Satan comes, and Hashem says to the Satan, The Satan arrives, and Hashem says to the Satan, "Where are you coming from?" Because the Satan is not allowed to begin the conversation unless the Gadol first asks him permission. So he says to him, "Mishut ba'aretz, I am coming from flying in the world." Kasher mefush l'mailu v'hagoda d'shutaf neim. I was just surveying the world. Hashem says to him, "Asam to loshon teimahu tam biyasha shalim b'masav." And the Satan responds, "The only reason why he's in Satan is because you have protected him." Sachta ba'ado, he ganta.
What does the word Satan mean?
So what is the word Satan? Adversary.
Adversary, rival.
What is the?
The shurish. I don't know more than that. Satan. Sat with what?
Sat kolaret.
Mishut kolaret. So you want to say the word Satan means the Gam HaSatan comes from the word V'ulam. Where is the pasuk? Wait, let me just find the pasuk again. I'm coming Mishut. So you want to say the word Satan comes from Mishut Bar? It's a very good point. No, it sounds very good. The sin.
This is a sin, and that's a sin.
Yeah, that's not that. But they're not interchangeable. The two, I mean, you don't...
You are, but what's your connection?
Aser to aser. Aser b'shvil shetis aser. You have, okay, it's a drasha.
Yeah, but that's...
Okay, I hear. Okay. Okay, I don't know, it's a very good point. Let's see Rashi. Sachta bado. The Satan says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only reason why he's a Satan is because you have protected him. Haganta ba'ado. You have protected him. Kimechitza zo, like this partition. Kimo haser misuchaso, mechitzasai. Yeshaya says, remove his partition. V'chol ba'ad. The word is mean ba'ado. Ba'ad means he'amur b'loshon ivri, ein el loshon kinegdo, in his presence. U'befon of kimo v'chiper ba'ado, you shall atone on his behalf. Kaneach he'avon kinegdicha. Clean the sin in front of him. Wipe the sin uvi for necha liyos hakapara magen ba'adcha v'chein Hashem magen ba'adi. The word ba'ado means in your presence. Remove the sin that it stands in front of your presence. So we have here the word ba'ado. The reason, only reason why he is a tzaddik is because you have protected. You have put a partition in front of him to protect him from any harm, and that is why he's a tzaddik. What else does the Satan say to him? That his assets were paratz baretz nischaz. The word paratz means to strengthen. Kamo v'chein yifrotz mitagaminon yiskoif. They are strong. V'zeh pshutai. The Rabbi Seinu zechonu levracha amru b'hagada paratz kidrash shel olam she'izim hargim hazevim. It wasn't just that Eve was successful. His success was l'mal. If a wolf came to his herd to attack, a goat would eat up the wolf. That is shaloi kederech hateva. He was impenetrable. His success was the mala miderech hateva, and that's why the word over here parats means it breached the derech ha'olam. That is the degree of his success, and that is why he is such a tzaddik. He is such a good person because he has no tzaris. So instead, he complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why don't you go and bring upon him tzaris? Hashem says, fine, if that's the case, I give you permission. I give you permission to bring upon him harm. Okay, pasuk yud gimel vayehi hayoyim. Okay, Pasuk Gimel says it was that day, Uvanav Uvnaisav Eichlim, and his sons and daughters were eating, Vashaisim Yayin, they were drinking wine. What's the significance of why they're drinking wine? I do not know. There must be some deeper significance why he has to make mention of that point. Bevei Sachihem Habuchar in the
Simcha.
They were Besimcha.
Could be they made a bracha of a Toda naked, and it's a bigger contrast than what's going to happen.
I don't know. It's interesting point why it's. I didn't see anyone that talks about why it says dafka wine. The base achihem habuchar. They were in the home of the oldest brother. Malach ba el Iov, a messenger. A messenger comes to Iov. First, one learned vayomar. This was not messenger. It was not necessarily not necessary. It was a messenger of the Satan. Does not say a shaliach. Does not say. It was a supernatural messenger from the Satan, Vayomar, and tells Eov bad news. Habakar hayu charshos, the bakar, the cattle were plowing, v'ho'asonos ros al yideihem, and the donkeys were pasturing alongside, and what happened? Vatipol shiva vatikochem. Along came the Malchus of Shiva. This was a nation, and they attacked and stole the property. The Es Hanadim Hikulu Fichodev, and the young men that were pasturing, that were guarding the animals, were killed. The Molotarak Anila Vadila Hagid Loch, I am the only survivor, and I'm here to tell you the bad news that all of your property has been destroyed, has been seized by Malchus Shiva. The Mefarshim would rak. Why did I need to say the word v'molotar? It could just say v'molotar ani levadi. So from the word rak, Chazal learned that even the messenger was barely alive. He was mortally wounded, and he only had enough strength to come and even tell him what happened. And the moment after he delivered the message, he also died. Period. Pasuk Tezayin. Od Zemidaber. While the first messenger was reporting about the tragedy of the about the Asonos, another one was Vizeba. Another messenger arrives. Vayomar and says, Eish Elokim Naflo Min Hashemayim. Vativa Batzoyin Vanarim, and it consumed the sheep and the young men. Vatoichleim, and consumed them. V'imolotor Rakani Levadi Lahagi Lachol. So the same thing. I'm the only survivor, and I'm here to tell you what happened to your sheep and to the Naarim. A third messenger arrives. While the second one was speaking, Vizeba v'yomar, Kastim, another nation has arrived. Samu shaloisha roshim, they sent out three divisions. Vayif shitu al hagmalim, and they spread out over the gemalim, the camels, vayikachum, they seized them, v'yes hana'arim, hikulufi chodev, and the young men that were guarding the gemalim were killed by sword, v'molotor rak, ani levadi lahagilucha, I'm the only survivor, it's here to tell you what has happened, what has happened to your possessions. So we have over here three different messengers telling him three different events, that basically the destruction of his possessions. The possessions are divided into three different categories. There are the Bakar and the Asonos. That's one category. Then there is the Tsoin and the Na'arim. And the third category is the Gemalim and the Na'arim. Three different categories. They were all destroyed in three different ways. In Prussian, we learn that they have Malcha Shiva, and we have the Kastim, and we have the Eish Min HaShamayim. So in Farshim, we want to learn, so let's first start with the first and the third. The first and the third are the Malcha Shiva and the Kasim. Seemingly, these two nations were at different points in time in history. Malcha Shiva, we only find mentioned prominently in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. And therefore, someone learned from this, that this is an indication that the story of Eve took place during the time of Shlomo HaMelech.
But Shiva is also mentioned in Sefer
Bereishis. Okay, so it's not Bukhar. Just because we find it mentioned with prominence and the elaboration of the Malchus Shiva, they were in their prime, the time of Shlomo HaMelech, it's not Bukhar. That's the only time they existed. But some want to say this would seem to be an indication that that's past when Eve lived. On the other hand, we have the Kastim. And the Kastim, they had prominence in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, they were much later point in time, during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Two different things. There's another difference between the Malchus Shiva and Malchus Kastim. Malchus Shiva, they came to attack for the money. When a nation wages war, when one nation wages war against another nation, what's their motive? So there are different motives. One time their motive is money. It's nothing more than oil, energy. Sometimes one nation wages war for kavod, for power. So that can be seen here as well. Malchus Shiva, Pasuk Tzvav, their motive was they wanted the money. Vatipol Shiva Vatikochem, Vyesana Adim Hikulifi Chorev, their motive was, according to the Mefarshim, from what we know about Malchus Shiva, was nothing more than they wanted the assets. Whereas the Kastim, they had a different agenda. The fact that some Shlosha Roshim Vayivshitu Al Gamal Vaikachum, Vyesana Arim, their motive was not for the money, it was to show power. We are the authority, we are the people that you have to deal with more than their desire to actually seize the property. Now, as far as the middle event, Eish Min HaShemayim, it was something which was beyond his control, there was nothing he can do about it. Okay, Pasuk Yud Ches, now we come to the fourth. The fourth probably is the most tragic of them all. Ad Zeh Medaber, while the third messenger was speaking with Zebov Yomar, Bonecha Ubnosecha, Oichlem Veshoysim Yayin, they were eating and drinking wine, Beves Achihem HaBachar, Pasuk Yutes, Vihine Ruach Gedolah Ba'ah, Me'ever HaMidbar, a massive, a very powerful wind came from the other side of the Midbar, Vayiga Ba'arba Pinas Abayis, and it touched the four corners of the bayis, vayipol ahal ha'arim, the bayis collapsed, vayimusu, and they died. The molotov rak ani levadi lehagid loch, and I'm the only survivor. Now his children all have. He has been informed that his children have died. Okay, now before we see his reaction, let's take a look very quickly at the mitzudos of these pesukim, starting from pasuk yud gimel, the mitzudos David, pasuk yud gimel, vayihi hayom. Okay, but it was that day kasher bo hayom shechazu lechol beis habachar, when the day returned, the day when they came to from the bachar, oz ira mash ira v'chavonos hasatan hayu lahakni lesiyah biyoser. His goal was to anger, was to cause pain to Eov as much as possible. B'choshvo haloizeh hayom baboker he'elesi oilas mispar kulam kemash amal mala vayiki yakifu. Today, this very morning, I offered a sacrifice, seven sacrifices or ten sacrifices to atone for any evil thought. How in the world can such a terrible thing happen? Today, where I'm holding at a time when they all forgiven for their sins. Imkain minukim heime avon, they are clean from sin. Umadua imkain mesu, how could it possibly be then that they died? Uvavur ze yirbe legadef, the Satan believed this would be cause for Eov to curse, to say something not proper. Pasuk Yudalit Umalach Ba. So first, the first messenger comes. Echad min Arav Ba Levasru Hara. The Malach here is not mamish according to the Mitzvah. An angel. The Malach is one of his servants. He's a messenger. Al Yidehem Etzlam Besamach Lohem, and they were standing by the Asonos, the donkeys. The Asonos, the donkeys, were rose al yidehem near them. Pasik tes va vatipol shiva, am shiva. the nation of Sheva, Chon Salehem, encamped against these donkeys and the Bokar, the Lokcha HaKol La'atzman took everything for herself. V'yes Hanorim, HaChorshim Im HaBokar, V'Haroyim V'Hasonos, they were murdered. L'Hagiloch, I'm the only one that survived that comes to tell you the bad news. Ki Omru, Rabbi Seinu Zichonim Levracha, Sha'achar Shagomar Dvarov, Meiskam Hu. After he finished his report, the messenger himself died. V'arehu Ki'ilu Omar, Hinei Loi Nim Latiti, Ki'im L'Hagilocha, the only reason why I escaped was to inform you. V'lo Lihishar Chai, not to remain alive. I just have enough strength to tell you the bad news. Od ze pasuk tezayin kishachoya od harishon medaber devarav ba ze hasheni vaomar hinei eish chazaka gedol nafla min hashamayim veyischilu lahavir b'tzayin uvin arim, it consumed the sheep and the young men shomer hatzon v'sodaf es kulam. Yudzayin. Then comes the third messenger, and he informs Eov that the Kazdim have destroyed the Gemalim and have murdered the young men. Chel Kazdim, an army of the Kazdim. Cholkoi Atzman al Shloisha Chalokim. They divide into three groups. Ufoshtu Atzman Bavur HaGemalim. And they spread out to seize the camels. Lokachas Kederach Sholei HaMikneh. Like people who seize spoils of cattle. Asher Yispazhu Misav Lesav HaMikneh. When you want to seize cattle, when you want to seize Mikneh, you have to spread out because the cattle, they disperse. When they realize they're under attack, they disperse. So you have to go and seize them from all sides. V'yes hanorim, heim aroi hagamalim, they were murdered. Adzeh, pasuk yitches, kemo beodzeh. Yitches, the Metzudas makes mention that we have a different change in the expression. The first three messengers, it says od. And the fourth time, it says ad. So he says that according to the similar understanding, it's the same thing as the word od. Ochlim, they were eating, hayu ochlim, they were drinking, and suddenly a wind came, vayiga be'arva pinas abayis im kiba me'ever echad, even though the wind only comes from one side, it was something that was unusual, it was like a tornado, it came and it made contact with the four corners of the bayis, kiba me'ever echad, hikiv es kol habayis misaviv, al hanorim, the house collapsed upon the children. Heima bonav umeshar seyem v'lozachar habonos. Why does the pasuk not mention the daughters? What happened to the sisters, the three sisters? Ki kol shekenhu heyoyis hanekevo seim teshushe koyach b'yoyiser. So he points out a very interesting point, which only the Mitzvah says. It says here that his sons died. It does not say explicitly in the pasuk that his daughters died. The Mitzvah said itself understood if the sons who are giborim did not have the koyach to withstand this tragedy, certainly the daughters who are weaker did not have the koyach to withstand, and they all perished in this terrible tragedy. Let's see Rashi. Rashi starting with Pasik, going back to Pasik of Atibol Shiva. We'll go back further. Pasik Yudalit Al Yideyan. Kamo Ish al Yado, the Asonos were pasturing near the Bakar. Ish al Yado, the word Yidehem just means near their side. The Ainala Shamakam, Ella al Shem Shumukun Muzum al Yado, it does not mean a place. Ella al Shem Shuhu Muchun Umzum al Yado, it means nearby. Rabbi Seinu Zuchonim Lavracha Amu Bahagoda Shahit Ima Makadosh Baruch Hu Me'ein Olam Haba. That this alludes to his unusual success. The reason why it says that they were pasturing alongside, meaning, what does this mean? La'achar charishas ha'asonas, immediately after the donkeys plowed, ha'yuzoyrim, they seeded, they planted seeds, im ha'charisha, v'royos ha'asonas miyad chaziz min atelem, and then other donkeys would eat vegetation that grew from the furrow. Just like we have a tradition that when the Mashiach will come, a person will plant a seed in the ground, and immediately, without any delay, a tree will grow, a fruit will grow, grain will grow. They will not have to wait 6 months for the crop, for the seed to decay, to take root, to develop. It will happen immediately. That's exactly what's happening over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eve a taste of Olam Haba in this world, and that's why it is the Bokar Hayu Charshos, the cattle was plowing. The moment after the cattle plow, it immediately they threw a seed into the ground, and V'hasonos Ro'os Al Yideihem, and the donkeys immediately fed, were able to eat from the vegetation that grew right after the cattle the cattle passed in with the plow in the ground. That's it alludes to his unusual success. And what happened to these people? What happened to the tzon and the bakar? The asonos and the bakar. Pasik to Zion, they were killed by Malchash of Atibul Shva Nis Napla, the Chansa Malchus Shva Alayhem. The kingdom of Shva fell and encamped upon them, Kamo, like it says, Al Pnei Cholech of Nofal. Vyes Hanorim, Mishar Secha, Hashemim, Oysam, your servants who have been guarding them have been wiped out. Vimolita, Ein Melita El Loshon Hashmata, Shinishtamit Min Hatsara, I'm the only one who escaped. Uvasi lahagil l'chavichavon shehigil miyad meis kainhu b'sforim achedim. And the moment that I have, after he, the servant told Eiv what has happened, immediately the servant died. Tez zayin uvne arim b'mesharsim shemer hatsan b'darer kasef pasuk zayin vayavshidu al gemalim zeloshen b'zbazu baz l'fim in hagam kolzman shem mahalchim nidbakim yachad v'holchim b'marav shelo yovah b'chem v'yavrichu es hamikne u'shemagi. When the plunderers come, they all walk together, because if they spread out, then the animals get skinned, they disperse. So in order to come and attack the animals, they come out, they march towards the animals in one column. And then suddenly the group of people who want to seize the cattle, they disperse, they spread out, they break up into different groups along the width of the mikneh, ze lekan ve ze lekan, le'esef hamikneh, to gather the mikneh, the hamalochim halalu shluchei fan. That's what he's explaining over here. That's what he's doing over here in this Rashi pasuk. He's coming to explain over here why, when it comes to the gemalim, does it say vayifshitu al hagemalim? It does not say this by the first section, by the Bokar and the Asonis. So the reason is because that's the derech. When a group of people come to collect, to plunder mikneh, you have to start off slow. You don't want the animals to disperse.
This is the way you attack.
You march in.
You come into ambush. You don't want anybody to see you.
So you come in a single column, and as you come closer, then you disperse. That's why it starts off vayifshitu al hagmalim gzuntait. They first march in a straight line, but as they come close, then suddenly they disperse to collect, to gather in the animals. Okay, now then Rashi over here concludes v'hamalochim halalu shaluchei satan hayu. According to Rashi, these messengers gzuntait these malachim were the messengers of the satan. Uchadei lahaknitoi ulahachtiyoi bisru techila. In order to anger Eiv and to cause him to sin, they announced one thing at a time. Techila behefsed muat v'achakach begadol himenu v'chein kulam. They wanted to build. It was a psychological method. He wanted to start out small. First, the bokar and the asonos. That's relatively speaking a small loss. Then he tells him about his property. Then he tells him about the Eishman Hashemayim, the Tzon. That's a greater loss. Then he tells him about even a greater, the Gemalim. The Gemalim are more expensive than the Tzon and the Bokar and the Asonos. And then ultimately he tells him about the worst possible thing, the death of his 10 children. So all of this was done gradually, to build up, to cause him the maximum amount of tsar, to build up small and go higher and higher, in order to get Eiv to say something bad against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so now how does Eiv react? Now we come to Pasuk.
One is, two things. One is, when Eiv says, I know I've seen something in Medrash Rabbah about these psukim, and yet I don't recall what they were, and haven't searched for them yet. Do you have a reference somewhere where there's a medrash on this
incident? Most of this is the Gemara, and most of this appears in Bava Basra, Daf Tez Zayin.
I don't have. You can't ignore the big question here, which is, how does Hashem cause the death of innocent people for a test.
Well, that's the whole sefer is all about. That's what we're coming to. Yeah. 40 something parakim. This is just the hakdama to the sefer. We have 40 prakim to try to explain what exactly is happening. Tzadik viralo. He has done nothing wrong. He's a tam yashar yirei elokim. What?
They haven't done anything wrong that we know.
The children. So you're asking another question. Why should these innocent children, these 10 innocent children, why should they suffer?
They did it
now. That's all part of the question. It's not just a question to Eve, why is he suffering? Why does his children suffer? People suffer. There are two people who suffer. They're the living and the dead. The survivors, they suffer even more than the victims. Talk about the Holocaust.
That's the Gemara. In other words, what it says is it's not the people that die that are doing the suffering. It's the people that live.
The survivors.
And that's why what the Gemara Baba Basra says over there is that the reason he let Elazar and Samar live because they were married. But Mother and Aviu, they had no one relying on them, so God said to Moshe,
there's no one.
They're expendable because no one else is relying on them. But why should Moshe Tainan, why should Elazar and Isamar's family suffer the loss of a father? They didn't do anything.
So if Nadav would have had children, even though they are deserving of death, but because their children are not deserving of death, sometimes on the Shbaruch has Rachmanis on one person because of the collateral damage.
They explained that they would die because they weren't married.
They didn't have children, so the collateral damage. Everything is for the cheshbon. Everything.
There's no logic. Our logic is not his logic. It's a different.
I know. It doesn't satisfy.
Our own sin deserves.
It's a different series.
Okay, let's see. Let's see how he reacts. Pasuk Chaf. Now comes his reaction. Vayakam Ioiv. He gets up. Vayikra Esmi Eloi. And he rips his garment, vayogos esrosho, and he tears out the hair of his head. Vayipol arza, vayishtochu, he falls down on the ground and he bows. Pasukov, I'll show you a few psukim. Vayomer, oroim yotzosi mibeten imi, I came out of the womb of my mother naked. According to one interpretation, it means literally the womb of his mother. Some will want to learn a little bit differently. We'll see in a few moments. The arom ashuv shama, I will return to the earth. See, that's the problem. The person does not return arom to the beten of his mother. We have over here some inconsistency in the pasuk. I have arom yotzasi mi beten imi, the arom ashuv shama. That's not true. A person does not return when he dies. He does not leave this world by returning arom to the womb of his mother. So we have no choice but to say mi beten imi means from the earth, from the womb of my mother. Meaning, it's a metaphor. A person came into this world. Adam harishon was created in this world. Arom Hashem made Adam harishon ofar min ho adama. He came from the earth naked into this world, and when man dies, he returns to the earth also naked. V'arim ashav shama, Hashem nosan. This is the pasuk that part of Tzidik Hadin. Hashem nosan, v'Hashem lokach. Yehi shem Hashem mivaruch. May Hashem's name be blessed. B'chol zos, despite his horrible tzara, the loss of his children, loy chato iyov, v'loy nosan tefila lelokim. He did not sin and did not offer a inappropriate expression of complaint. Well, tied to the word tefillah now is a euphemism, an inappropriate expression of complaint. Leilokim towards Hashem. Leilokim was midas hadin. Yudkei Vavkei is midas harachamim. Here, obviously, he was suffering from midas hadin, and he did not complain against midas hadin. Okay, now going back, let's take pasachof before you see the mitzvahs and Rashi inside a few important points. Vayakam. Yakam means he stood up. Now, there are different words to describe to stand. The better, the more precise word is vayamoit. He stood. Why does it say vayakam? So some, I think the Malbim says vayakam. Look carefully in the Malbim. Vayakam means he reassessed. Vayakam does not mean necessarily a physical standing. It means a reassessment in life. Until this point in time, he was 70 years old, Eve, when this happened. Until this point in time, he was living his life with a certain derech, an approach to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When this terrible thing came to him, he said to himself, I have to reassess. My relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has now changed. I can no longer continue to serve Hashem with the same values, with the same hashkafa that I have done for these past 70 years, because Everything has changed. I've lost everything that I had. All of my assets are gone. My children are gone. It's a different world. So Vayakam is a profound expression of to reassess your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the next point that's important to note is Vayogos Es Rosho. It says Beferish in the Pasuk that you're not allowed to do this. Torah says Lo Sosimu Karcha Bein Einechem L'Neis. You're not allowed to make a bald spot on your head between your eyes, referring to your hair, to mourn over the dead. Why then, or how then, was Eev allowed to do what the Torah explicitly said you're not allowed to do? So the simplest answer is, whoever said that Eev was a Shomer Shabbos, whoever said Eev was Jewish. Let's say Eev lived before the Talmud Matan Torah, Eve lived in Talmud Ravim, before the Torah was given, so there was nothing wrong. In a Hanami, this was the custom where a person would go and gash, would pull out his hair over the loss of his relatives. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is, the Torah only prohibits making, pulling out your hair for the loss of a loss of a relative, but there is no prohibition to pull out here in pain over the loss of property. So Vayoges, when it says Vayikra Es Me'ilo, that was for his children, the loss of his 10 children, and Vayogos Es Rosho was for the loss of his property. And that would not be a violation of Torah law at all. A third interpretation in the prohibition of pulling out here is to pull out from the roots. Here Vayogos would mean that he pulled out, he took scissors, and he cut above the roots, which is not a violation of Torah law. Okay, he fell on the floor and he bowed down. Okay, well, one jumped down to Pasuk Chafalv. He says, Hashem Nosan v'Hashem Lokach. The Farshim asked the question, why the second time it says, v'Hashem is there a Vav? The first time it says, Hashem Nosan. V'Hashem has a Vav Achibur. V'Hashem Lokach. So the answer given is, every time it says the word Vav, it means Ubei Stinai. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, Eev recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to take away my property, my children, Hashem did not just act alone. Hashem first consulted with his Bezdin, with the Bezdin Shalmaila. And it's teaching us a very powerful meaning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gives, he's generous. He doesn't ask questions. Hashem wants to give bracha, he gives bracha. But when Hashem wants to take away bracha from a person, Hashem doesn't do it immediately. Hashem first consults with the Bezin Shalmaila. Maybe there's a reason the person has a zuchus that he should retain his possessions. It should not be taken away. So this little vav is a very powerful musar to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu zemidos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a great deal of racham on the person, does not take away so quickly. It says at the end of the pasuk, Hishem Hashem mivayroch. This was a slap in the to the face of the Satan. Because the Satan, going back to his complaint, he said in pasuk Yud Aleph, V'ulam shlachna yodcha v'ga b'chol asher lo imlo al ponecha yivarecheka. If not, he will yivarecheka, which means it's a euphemism. Yivarecheka, he'll be mivarech Hashem. He'll curse. And here, not only did he not curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he actually blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a play on the word. It's a pun. It wasn't just Hashem, not Satan, you think now he made a shvu, I guarantee you Hashem, take away his property, take away his children, he'll be mevarech Hashem. And even the Satan had the sensitivity not to say the word mekalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Satan himself had to say the word mevarech, and indeed here that's exactly what happened. He was mevarech Hashem, yihi shem Hashem mevarech. Okay, now let's go take a look at the words of the Mitzudos to his reaction. Starting, yeah.
The last pasuk. Why can't you just learn plainly? He didn't sin. But
okay.
He didn't offer any tefillahs.
So in a chanami, that's one valid interpretation. He was already weakened. It's already showing that he was compromised.
Yeah.
He was compromised. In a chanami, he didn't go overboard. He did yihi shem Hashem mivarech. We can't take that lightly. Pasuk Chaf Aleph says yihi shem Hashem mivarech. May Hashem's name be blessed. But v'lo nosan tefilah l'Elokim. So if you want to say, means he didn't go overboard. He blessed Hashem, but he did not stand along Shmona Esrei. In a chanami, that appears to be a proper interpretation. There are many. Yeah.
Pasuk Yud Beis said that God told the Satan not to harm him.
Right.
taking away property, okay.
Children. Right. So this is a very difficult thing because with Perek Beis we have the same story again. Satan comes and the Satan says, Hashem says to the son, "Did you see Eov what a tzaddik he is?" And the Satan says, "Yeah, that's because his or ba'al or, because he's physically healthy. Why don't you bring upon him some pain? Let's see what happens." So that seems to imply that Perek Beis was a greater nisayon than Perek Aleph. If you ask the average person, they'll tell you losing children is a billion times worse than suffering physical pain. They would rather suffer the worst, the Yisuri Eiv, not to see their children die. So what's going on here? It's a very difficult question. The whole Sefer Eiv is full of questions I have no answers. It's a very difficult question. The only thing the Malam really alludes to, the Malam says, it's not Muchach. There are different types of people. There are people out there in the world that their own physical pain is more difficult to them than their children, than the loss of their children. Their children didn't suffer in this instance. Children died, 1, 2, 3. The bias collapsed upon them. They died instantaneously. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Yoyer L'Sof Daitoy, that Eov was a person to whom it would have been a greater nisayon to suffer physically than to lose his children. It's a very big chiddush to say such a thing. And but the Malbim says there are different types of people. We really find that in Kriya Shema. There are people, and there are people whose goof is more chav than their mamon. And he's saying the same thing is true when it comes to children. There are people whose children are more chav to them. There are people who their own life is more chav than their children. They just view their children as, you know, children. They don't have any relationship. They didn't raise them. They had them. Someone raised them. They're not so happy with them. They're not going in their derech and their hashkafa. They cause them a lot of tzar, agmas nefesh. That's what the Malbim says. There are different types of people. So in Eov's situation, it was a greater nisan, but you cannot generalize to what would be bother people. The question is much greater than the answer, obviously. I don't, that's what bothered right away struck out.
Could you say, Al-Kishmach Yadecha means not to kill him? Because later on you see he is personally
also the Perek Beis, Hashem makes very carefully, I leave him alive. Here in Perek Aleph, it says, when Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Ulam Shlachno Yodcha V'gab Chol Asher Lo. Only touch in his possessions. Do not touch him.
The next question.
Hashem, Al Tishlach, Rak, Elov, Al Tishlach. That was the condition. That was the condition. The condition, the condition that Hashem gave to the Satan was that you can take away his property and his children, but don't take his life, and don't even touch him. Don't cause him any physical harm. He himself must remain perfectly complete. That was Hashem's condition in Perek Aleph. That's not the condition in Perek Beis. In Perek Beis, the condition is you can actually cause him physical harm, but just don't kill him. He must remain alive. Okay, it's very, very difficult. Let's see what the Mitzvah says. Starting with Pasuk, the response. How he responds in Pasuk Zuntan and Pasuk Chof. Pasuk Chof in the Mitzvah of David. Vayikra ba'avur hatzar v'ho'evel. He ripped his clothing because of the pain in the morning. Vayogos es rosho, tolash tzar rosho, v'kotzar b'dover ha'muvun. It does not need to say that it was his hair. The word tzar is missing from the pasuk, but that's self-understood. He then bowed down. Vayishtochu el Hashem levorech al hara. He made the bracha. Dayan ho'emes. He made, according to the mitzvahs, he made a bracha. He was a religious person. He knew the bracha. Pasuk of Aleph, he said the following. Now, this is difficult pasuk. This is already getting into some of the very difficult parts of Sefer Eiv. What exactly does it mean over here? Arom, yotzasi mi beten imi. I have exited the womb of my mother naked. What does that mean? Ratzalaymar. Kemoshi yotzasi mi beten imi arom. The mitzvah says, just like I came out of the womb of my mother arom. So here it translates to mean literally, naked, mibli oisher, without wealth, kein oshuv ela kever. So he says, oshuv arom oshuv shama. So the mitzvah here is telling us the word shama is not going back on the beten. It doesn't make sense. Shama means shama vir, to the earth. I will return to the grave. Problem is, nowhere does it say anywhere in the pasuk the word grave. Now this fits very nicely with Chazal's terminology. In the Gemara always says, "Ein psichas hakever b'loy dam." It's an expression in the Gemara in Masechet Nida that if a woman has that Chazal call the woman's rechem, her womb, call it a kever, call it a grave. And the terminology is, if a woman's womb opens for due to illness, due to sickness, today it's very nogeh halacha lemaisa because of all the different advances in science, in fertility treatments, there is this concept called ein psichas hakever b'loy dam. If the womb of a woman is open due to some type of medical test or medical procedure, a woman automatically becomes a nida. There must be a release of blood. And what do we learn from this Chazal? The term Chazal give the womb of a woman is a kever. So that fits very nicely here. Vayomer oroim yotzosim ibeten imi. I came out of the womb of my mother naked. And a womb in Chazal's terminology is called a kever. The oroim are naked. Oshuv shama, I will return there. Where is there? To the womb. But not the literal womb, but the womb's term. The term that is used for the womb, meaning I will turn to the grave naked. That's why the birth of a child is called Tchiyas HaMeisim. When a child is born, because since the womb is called a kever, and the seed of man is called Zera, so when a woman conceives, it's the planting of a seed, putting a seed into a grave, and when the child comes out, it's Tchiyas HaMeisim. When a person is buried in the earth, and it's like planting a seed in the ground, and at the time of Mashiach, when Tchiyas HaMeisim, he comes to life. Every child that's born is a mashal for Tchiyas HaMeisim. The womb is the kever, the zera of the ish is the seed. The seed is being planted in the kever, and out comes a living creature, comes a human being. So here, it's an interesting expression, back to the Mitzvot, Pasuk Chof Aleph, I will return to the kever, Zulosam, without my wealth and my children. Ucho'imer, Mali lehisroim al Ovdon Habonim v'ho'isher, why should I complain for the loss of children and wealth? Haloi lo noldu imi, they were not born with me. The ashavim kain kamo, im kain kamo shenolati, I will return to the grave the same way I came. Ulutaisvas beir amar haloi Hashem nosan li v'hu lokach eshalo, and that's how he continues the pasuk. He concludes Hashem nosan v'Hashem lokach, Hashem has given, Hashem has taken his own. Umali l'Hashem alav, there's no need for me to complain. Shama. What does it mean? Shama, according to the Mitzvot, El Hamakom Hayadua Hamuchun Lakol. The grave. The grave is the place that is known and it's prepared for all. We have posted in Koheles, same exact thing. Or Al Kol Hamas Hashem, all of a person's deeds end up there. All of a man's actions end up in the grave. Nothing comes of man. Bechol Zos Pasuk Habeis Im Kibo Olav Tzaros Techufos. Hoive al hoive, even though he had multiple tragedies. Mikol makom lechotel lehistroim achar Hashem le'amar lov divrei tefila. He did not complain and did not issue any tefila, any blasphemy. Let's see Rashi, starting with pasuk chaf. Vayogos. What does it mean, Vayogos? Tolash. He pulled out. Kemo in Yirmiyah, Gezi nizirech, pull out your hair. Umetargaminan, Talisha, to pull out. Kemo, Mimei imi, ato gozi moshri, from the womb of my mother, you pulled me out. Gozi, which is translated to mean moshri, you pulled me out of the womb of my mother. Mibetan imi. So according to Rashi, Rashi here is learning not like the Mitzudos. Rashi learns Mibetan, the womb of my mother, ho adama, asher lukachti misham, According to Rashi's first interpretation, obviously Rashi wants to match up the word shama to the word mi betanimi. According to Rashi's first interpretation, shama is masif from there, so there refers, and that's the grave. So mi betanimi refers to the earth. That's where Adam Harishon was taken. Adam Harishon was created from the earth naked. O imi mamish, or like what the Metzuda says, it can refer to his mother mamish. The arum ashuv shama loy be betan hu medaber, can't mean that it's going to return to his mother's womb naked. Uma shama El Makom Tishuvasai, it means the place of his returning. The Alshu Muchu Lekach V'lo Yachlif Hachoik L'Shuv Ki'im El Ofer. There's no one is spared from dying and returning to the earth. Lefichach Lo Hutzruch L'Haskir. It's not necessary to say the ground. Shama, it's moving the Elof. It's self understood. Shama refers to the grave because that is the Chok. That's the law of the world. Everyone returns to the grave. Tfila Lo Shom Shemetz V'Tiflus. He did not offer Tifla. Tefila over here refers to Tiflus, means complaint. Loishem Shemetz v'Tiflus Nosan al Chalish Baruch Hu Kamoi v'Nivei Hashemim. We see Tifla among the prophets of Shemim, the false prophets. I have seen Tifla, foolishness. He did not say anything harmful towards the Chalish Baruch Hu v'Nosan l'Hatil Tefila v'Ol El. He did not offer Tefila v'Ovel. The avil or sin, El Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kamo Nasnu LeDavid Harivavos VeLi Nasnu HaAlafim. To David, what Shaul said. To Shaul was very upset while they were singing. When they were singing David's praises, they said greater things about David than they said about Shaul. They said that Shaul only conquered thousands, but David conquered 10,000s. So Shaul complained. So there was no, here is what it means, there was no complaint. Everything, he had no complaint towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, one thing I wanted to mention, a little bit of a drush. Okay, Rabbi Meir, you're going to love this, Rabbi Meir. Into Kabbalah. Vayomer Aroim Yotzasim Ibeten Imi. I came out of the womb of my mother naked. V'arom Ashuv Shama. I will return to the womb, I will literally return to the womb naked. Meaning, Gilgul Neshamas. A person comes into this world naked, right? And when he dies, what happens to him when he dies? The moment he dies, the neshama goes in, and the neshama goes into the womb of another woman who has conceived, and he comes out nachamol naked. So Nechlami represents over here the Gilgul Hachoizer of the neshama in this world, the multiple cycles of the neshama. And Michal, you don't like this. I'm with you, but that's what it says here. It's a very difficult pasuk. We have three interpretations: the Kabbalistic interpretation, you come out naked and you return back there to the womb, not the same mother, into the womb of another mother, naked. The interpretation of the Mitzudos, it means shama self understood. It means a grave. It's not a match. You come out of a womb of a mother naked. You return to the grave naked. And the third interpretation is. Mibeten imi refers to the earth. The earth itself is called the beten imi, referring to the creation of Adam Harishon. Yotzasi, I don't see any answer. I didn't see anything. I don't know. I'm sure there is. Everything here has a depth. Okay, let's just start the next parak a little bit. Vayihiyayim, it was the day. Now, there's a very powerful thing going on over here. This is now the second round.
The same day.
So what does it mean? So look at the Targum. The Targum says, "Vahave yom dina rabo." Yo, what is yom? Yom shvoik sarchanaya. The day when Hashem abandons sins. In other words, this was Yom Kippur. According to the Targum, the way the Mefarshim shan the Targum, go back to Vayi Hayom Dak and Perik Aleph. Vayim was Rosh Hashanah. So the second round came about 10 days later between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Can you look at Pasuk Zayin? Go back to Vayi Hayom Pasuk Vav. Vahava biyoma didina berei shata. Okay, the Targum and Pasuk Vav in Perek Aleph says it was on Rosh Hashanah. Now Perek Beis, Vayhi Hayom, Yom Dina Rabba. Dina Rabba means Yom Kippur. Yom HaKippurim, the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu abandoned Sor Chanaya, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives man for his sins. So
it says thing on Muklis on the Vayesha.
Ah, Targum. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting that Perek Aleph took place on Rosh Hashanah and Perek Beis took place on Yom Kippur, which according to the Targum opens up worlds for us. Because it's very difficult for the average person really to relate to what exactly is the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Yom Adin, the Nusach HaTfilah is very similar. It's not very, not 100% similar. You will shofar, Malchiyah, Zechariah, and Shofaros, the high holy days. What's really the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? If you take this Targum and you elaborate, Perek Aleph describes what is Rosh Hashanah, and Perek Beis is described the Yom Hadin of Yom Kippur. And what's the most fundamental difference? Perek Aleph describes the Surim, the Yom Hadin on for Eel, for his environment, not himself. He himself was scot-free. Fly didn't touch his body. The Satan, Hashem said to the Satan, don't touch him. He leave him alone. But his children, his possessions, his property, his seviva, his environment, that we're going to sit and din. Yom Kippur was all about him. Forget about his children, forget about his...
Makes sense, he says, Oram Yitzhoski. Nothing happened to me, I'm the same guy who was...
Same guy. But your seviva, person, obviously is influenced. If you're in an environment where you're associated with sinners, it's going to have an effect on you. If you have a nisyonis of poverty, a person doesn't have parnasa, it's not so easy. It's a whole different type of life. Your environment, the environment has a major impact upon a person's ability to serve Hashem. That's the theme of Rosh Hashanah. That's the theme of Perek Aleph. Perek Beis, the theme is all about yourself, your physical suffering. Where are you personally? The focus is on you, not on your environment. That's a very interesting idea, and that is expressed very clearly in the Targum, how he translates the difference between the Hayom of Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. Just see one pasuk: Vayom vayevo bnei Elokim lehisyat seva al Hashem nachamol. The bnei Elokim, the Malachim, come to stand in the presence of the Shparuch. Vayevo gam asat b'seicham. The Satan comes lehisyat seva al Hashem, also to stand by Hashem. Let's take just this one pasuk: pasuk Beis and pasuk Aleph in the Mitzudos. Mitzudos pasuk Aleph. Vayi hayom hamuchon lishayivohu bo melande hazuchus, the day that is prepared, lishayivohu melande, those who come and melamed zuchus v'achoyva. Okay, so the mitzvah is not really coming to elaborate your shayom kibbutz, just seems to be saying the same thing that he said in Perek Aleph. Okay, let's see what it says in Rashi. Rashi, there is no Rashi. Okay, so we will pick this up next. We'll just see one other point. Now there's one difference. There's another very, very important difference between Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. In Perek Aleph, it just says, "Vayavo gam hasatan bisoicham." In Perek Beis, it says, "Vayavo gam hasatan bisoicham lehisyat seiv al Hashem." Okay, so here, all of a sudden, the Satan is much more comfortable. In Perek Aleph, Kedayit, look at the Pasuk. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Vav, Vayhi Hayom, Vayvav Bnei Elokim, Bnei Elokim are coming lehisiat seif. They're very comfortable. Al Hashem. Who shows up to the party? Vayavav Gam HaSatan B'Soicham. The Satan also arrives, but the Satan is an outsider. The Satan is just a guest. He's not a person that's comfortable. He's not lehisiat seif. In Perek Beis, Vayavohu Gam HaSatan B'Soicham, we hear these extra words. Lehisyat Seiv Al Hashem. That's the need of the derech, is that the Satan, once he gets a Pesach, he entrenches himself. He got his foot in the door, exactly. First time he had no foot in the door. The Eov was a tzaddik, it was the first time. Once he was able to get his foot in,
he was a tzaddik or something because he did his job. Hashem said, "Go ahead and do what you do it."
Yeah.
So he was a shaliach.
He got his foot in the door. The question is why. So this is what Mr. Bloom may mention. That maybe over here, to some degree, Eov was weakened. Eov already was showing signs of weakness. You could go on a witch hunt. He went and he pulled out his vayogos esrosha. Is that the proper thing to do? So we know that today we don't do that. Kriya is mukhiyachiv to do kriya. Vayikra es mi'iloi. But is the proper thing also to go to the degree of ayogos? Maybe that's perhaps something which is a little bit over the top. That's a little bit too. I mean, who are we to judge Iyof? I mean, dealing over here, the greatest of the great. But, and then, as we mentioned, the last part of the pasuk, b'chol zos l'chot Iyof v'loi nosan tefila le'elokim. If you want to learn that, as Mr. Bloom interpreted it, as he was, did not go overboard. He blessed Hashem, Hashem nosan v'Hashem lokach, yishem Hashem v'loirach, but v'loi nosan tefila le'elokim. I'm not giving the same donation I gave last year. Last year I gave $1 million, this year I'm only giving $500,000. I have tainus, right? The shul wasn't good to me. They didn't give me the cover that I deserve, so I'm going to let them know. Only $500,000 this year. Not going to be myself, my pledge. So the Sultan, we got you. Now I have a place here in Shemaim Lehisiyatzei V'al Hashem to complain against Hashem. All right, so we'll pick it up tomorrow with Pasuk Beis.